There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to this edition of America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging with you. As you can tell, I'm one of those people that got, yes, strep throat. Have you ever had strep throat? Oh, it's a killer. I was, I want to blame it on my mother-in-law because I was around her at Christmas time and she was very silent because somebody had given her something and I've never seen her sick and I thought, oh no, this is not good. Oh, this is not good. It means I could end up with something. So I feel you, all of you who are in a similar situation. I want to tell you about one little thing that happened, though, quickly before we dive into the military Twitter feed being hacked and the ISIS link and a couple of other very big stories. We're going to take the show in March, and we're going to be broadcasting from the Supreme Court oral arguments. And I'm all for bigger, better, badder healthcare, badder in a good way. Like a boss, I want good healthcare for all of us. And when I went into, because I couldn't get in to see my doctor, he was so cool, he was going to even stay late. I was like, you know what, don't worry about it. Because I wanted to make sure I didn't have anything else. I didn't know what I had. I didn't know I even had strep. And when I went into the urgent care center, there's a really good one close to me. They were very nice. I went in and they were asking me all these questions about if you got an x-ray, it was this and this and this. And they kept asking me, did I understand insurance and how the insurance... I said, wait a second, what's going on? I've never been asked all these questions before. And they told me that because people come in and they don't understand their insurance and then they're upset when they get the bill because they don't have co-pays or they didn't know it cost that much or they didn't realize what a visit was. They didn't, because they didn't have that kind of insurance before or how it was all cherry picked out. If they test you for this or they test you for that or they put this, it costs blah, blah, blah. It's like an a la carte menu. I was just like, are you kidding? And they said, no. People are so confused. I said, how often does this happen? It happens so much that that's why we're assaulting you while you're standing here to give you our McDonald's menu. Well, for the $6 menu today, you want half an x-ray? Because we don't want you to get upset if your insurance isn't going to pay for it. What kind of insurance here? Wow. That was pretty eye-opening to me. Many of you have written me. I've talked to friends. Listen, I know lots of people are upset over healthcare and don't understand it, but it was just another revelation to me, so I thought I'd share it with you. How about that? All right, on to what is a huge story, a quick follow-up to that. Divers retrieved the second black box from Air Asia, that crash site that we were talking about on our last show. They did it, so that's big because now they can hopefully go through the black box and have a reason for why that plane went down. We know there was weather, but it still should have been okay, and this might give them some much-needed answers. Let's put it that way. All right, I think really one of the big stories of the day is, hey, U.S., je suis Charlie, what's up? Why weren't you there? Because the president was AWOL when it came to being in Paris with the rest of the world leaders. In fact, I know I mentioned this, that you had the Palestinian leader and you had the prime minister of Israel just a few feet away from each other. You had the German chancellor. You had David Cameron. The British PM was there, but no U.S. There was the U.S. ambassador, but that's a low-level person compared to a world leader. Really, Obama needed to be there. But the attorney general, Eric Holder, was in town. He was a no-show or wasn't asked to do it. So he wasn't there, and I don't even know if he would have been the right person. You'd have to have the president there. What do you think? Was this a faux pas for the U.S.? I'm going to say it was. And you have people like Lindsey Graham saying they think, the longtime senator from South Carolina, that this has to do with, oof, let's not identify this, let's not go in that direction, about Islamic terror. I mean, Islamic terror is here, period. And it doesn't matter if you're left of left, right of right, or somewhere in between. You cannot deny the facts. And no Americans in Paris and getting some criticism for that absence, I think it's pretty fair. It would have been good to show up. It would have been good to be there and really been represented. And even the White House is saying they should have sent a higher ranking official, while John Kerry pretty much is poo-pooing that. Like, hey, you know what? We got bigger fish to fry. There's other things that are going on here. All right, speaking of other things that are going on here, how about the big hack attack on CENTCOM? It was like a half an hour that Twitter and YouTube was taken over with pro-ISIS messages. Of course, what they're saying out of Florida is, oh, no big deal. You know, this is nothing, there wasn't anything sensitive that was released there, except for some generals' addresses. And I think it points out the biggest problem of all. We are getting cyber hacked and attacked, and we can't even protect our military information. Such sensitive information is spewed out there. And it doesn't give us great confidence, I think. So you have the president saying, yes, we're beefing up our intelligence on cyber attacks and all that. What does that mean? What does it mean we're beefing? What is beefing up? What does that mean? So the biggest, the baddest, the brightest are going to be putting up the walls? How do you hack Twitter accounts at CENTCOM? I do think it's worth examining that. They say they're investigating the hack. They said it appears to be no classified information was released. Whew, thank goodness that they're still looking into it, but no classified information was released. We're not compromised. We're downplaying the incident as a case of, you know, a little cyber attack. I heard someone say that. A little cyber attack. I think any hack is big. So the Twitter account, while it was compromised, carried an image identifying the page as Cyber Caliphate with a message that said, I love you, ISIS. Now, the group could be the same one that is under investigation by the FBI for hacking the websites or Twitter feeds of media outlets last month. But the military Twitter account, putting up the things they put out, I'd be worried about it. I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss it as no big deal. The Twitter page after the breach began posting screenshots of information about military commanders, phone numbers, email addresses, posted what was purported to be Korean scenarios and China scenarios with maps. I don't know. Cyber Caliphate, I'd say that was pretty bad they got in there and did that. So, yeah, they're acknowledging it, but they should acknowledge what a big deal this is. It was compromised. So now they're saying CENTCOM is taking appropriate measures to address the matter. What are appropriate measures? What are the appropriate measures for that? Have you ever been hacked into? Have you ever had your email held hostage where you were being held somewhere or some crazy thing was sent out to every single person you ever sent an email to? Which could be really brutal, which happened to me years and years ago. And Robert Siciliano, our pal who has come on the show, there's a great expert, they should hire him. He told me immediately what to do and how to get out of it. But that was an email with, I didn't think, ridiculously sensitive information, but I certainly didn't want everyone to think I was being held hostage. I think it's pretty bad that they got into CENTCOM. That's bad news. So they should react to the CENTCOM being hacked, and they need to be more diligent about it, figure out ways to close those doors the best they can. All right, we're kicking things off. Stay with us. Much more to come around the bend here on ATS. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
America Tonight, dipping in a different direction, you know, talking about some odds and ends. We just mentioned a couple of things, the CENTCOM deal being hacked into and then kind of poo-pooing it and saying, oh, not a big deal, except for, yeah, we love ISIS is on the military site. So I'd say the intrusion on the military Twitter account, yeah, that wasn't great. And, of course, talking about the miss in Paris not being there, the president not being there, and not having anyone of a high level. I mean, the ambassador is not, chopped liver, but who is the ambassador? If I asked any of you, who is the ambassador to France, you'd have to go look it up, really. And not that they don't have any relations whatsoever with the people in power in France, but it's just not that... It's not that position that you'd want there. I mean, Secretary of State, perhaps. Really, the president. The president was the one who had to be there, especially with everybody else that was there. And I'm sure there was some concerns about security. Who knows? I don't even know that for sure. I mean, what was discussed? That's what I would want to know. What was discussed as the reasons for not being there, to me, would be... I would be curious about that. A couple of quick things before we dive into some of those O&Es. Remember, we've got Nail the Score coming up Wednesday into Thursday's show in our second hour, last segment. Really easy. We got the two championship games in the NFL. You can hate football. And it's just like, I say this all the time, but it's so true. It's like circling Keno numbers or signing up for the lottery and you got to circle a bunch of numbers. So you're just picking a team and some numbers and you may win. We almost had a winner last week, Grimm, 26-24, Green Bay over the Cowboys. Well, it was 26-21. Green Bay beat the Cowboys, so he was pretty darn close. And maybe this time we'll have somebody who hits it on the nail, hits it on the head of the nail. Hey, I don't know about you, but I think it's really wild that we're having all these earthquakes around the United States. Like in Irving, Texas, they've had 12 earthquakes, and people have some cracks in their houses and stuff. And this happened a couple weeks ago. Now they said there was 5 small earthquakes that happened within like a half an hour of each other. And they had earthquakes in eastern Kentucky, 3.1. They felt that in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. So they're looking into it. What happened to the quakes? I mean, 6:30 a.m., that was the first one. And then they could feel it. I mean, think about that. 60 miles away in Massachusetts, in New Bedford, in Framingham. And the scientists at the Western Observatory that are looking into it said a series of small earthquakes in the Northeast isn't unusual. That the Eastern U.S. is in the middle of a tectonic plate that stretches from the West Coast to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Remember, in 2006 and in 2007, there was a series of earthquakes that hit Bar Harbor, Maine. They had a 4.2 mag during that time period. I know it rattled a lot of people's nerves. But no damages, no injuries that anybody's reporting. I love when they talk to the people on the street. There's one guy that said, I thought that the garage maybe had collapsed. That's what it sounded like to me. Then somebody else said that they thought it was a snowplow, but there was no snow. Wait, is it snowing? Am I waking up to snow and I had no idea that it's snowing? No, there was no snow. It would be freaky, though. You know, you live in California. I lived in California for a brief time, one of my many stops along the journalist highway. And I loved it. The people were great, all that stuff. But the Californians just know. And you know you're with a Californian when you're in an earthquake or an aftershock or any of that because they get it. It's like, we might have some trouble here. We might be diving. We might be diving for the floor. And they know exactly what to do, and they just don't have that panic that other people have when all of a sudden you look down and the ground is rolling. And that's what it feels like. It feels like when you're in your chair that the chair is just going to roll off the edge somehow. You're not going to make it. That's what it is. It's like a roll. That's what it is. That's what it feels like. And I've felt that like twice. I wasn't in the epicenter, but enough that the one time I was in San Luis Obispo and somebody screamed out earthquake because they felt the roll, and then that was it. And then it was fine, and then it was like, whoa, where was that earthquake? And then it's all about scrambling and looking to see what happened and, you know, where that earthquake was centered, where the epicenter was. And is this because of other things that are happening? Is it the tectonic plates? And there's a lot of unknowns. I mean, you know, that's the bottom line. And certainly on this show, we have had plenty of people on to talk about that. And it is one of those fields where you can hypothesize about, oh, well, maybe that's the shale, maybe that's the drilling. Darn it, that's why we don't like that drilling. And then you have other people say, well, yeah, but did you know there was plates there? And it's not what you think it is. Pretty interesting. I want to throw to this, too, when I talk about odds and ends, and I don't know where you all are on the Keystone Pipeline, and if you'd asked me this years ago, I'm sure I would have actually might have said, if I had not had all the facts, I would have said, ugh, really? Why are we doing that? Look what happened here, look what happened there. But because I've seen the information of how secure the area around the pipeline is and what they did environmentally and all that, I think that this is overkill, but it's almost overkill to have this conversation because this Keystone Pipeline can be debated, and that's what's going to happen before the ultimate final votes in the Senate. The Democrats know, I mean, they're a lot of Democrats are going to say no, but a lot of are going to say yes. But the bottom line is the president still has the power of the veto, and has said he would veto it. So this is not going to be signed into law. It's not happening. And the Canadians will wait for us. But how long do they wait, and then what happens? And is there a change in leadership? But Obama's vowed to veto the bill. The Democrats don't have the votes to kill the legislation in the Senate that they thought, or that they have had in the past. So Senate Democrats opposed to the pipeline are offering amendments that they think will be tough for the Republicans to vote against, or they know darn well played off well in 2016. But the bottom line is it'll be another veto situation, and well, it'll be a veto situation, and he's already said, the president already said he's vowing to veto it, so they can have all the discussion they want. You know, it's interesting. Senator Ted Cruz said he's going to propose an amendment that lifts the decades-old ban on crude oil exports to the Keystone Bill. He says we need to follow through to help get Americans back to work. And Mitch McConnell's office said, the Senate Majority Leader, they'd have a better idea of additional Republican amendments after Monday's cloture vote, and they've got that. So now moving forward, what are they pushing? Or, you know, the Dems are pushing for unity in the bill votes, and so are the Republicans. And I mean, either way, it doesn't matter, because we will still see that nothing's going to happen. This is part of that whole gridlock deal. We're going to see gridlock is what we're going to see for the next couple of years. And how does that affect the vote? And boy, there's a lot of things you could talk about mixed into that. Also here on Odds and Ends, it's, you know, it's interesting to see, because here we're talking about the Keystone Pipeline. It's interesting to see what people are paying for gas, and some of you are very excited about it, because I got a whole bunch of emails from people like Patrick, who said, I am paying $2.10 in California, Southern California, for my gas, and I'm always astonished by what you pay in Texas. And then I got another one here from Jeremy, who says, Kate, I haven't talked to you in a long time. I wanted to tell you I was very excited about gas. I live in Texas, too, in a different part than you, and I paid $1.70 the other day. $1.70. I could not believe it. Isn't that shocking? And then one more. I'll give you one more. This one from David Lee. And David Lee says, Kate, my gas has gotten lower, but nowhere near what your gas is. I live in Chicago, and my gas is $2. One place I paid $2 for a gallon of regular. I was pretty excited about that. Well, compared to what you paid before, which had to be $3 and something pretty heavy, because Chicago always is, prices are pretty big, kind of like Los Angeles is. So Sam, I'm curious, what are you paying at the pump, and how do you feel about that? Shoot me your thoughts on it, americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Hang with us. We're squaring the circle next here on ATN.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrant, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Things that we can talk about with our next guest. Today was crazy. Mitt Romney, I told you this, that I heard from one of his buddies that he was really serious about a 2016 bid, and he really is apparently serious about it. Wow, would the third time be the charm? Are you kidding me? Then we have all this stuff going on with Jeb Bush. But before we get into the beauty pageant of the GOP, how about still the fallout from John Boehner, who barely makes it in again as Speaker of the House? And to me, it was shocking because it was four more votes. You would have had that second go-around, but it didn't happen, but it was pretty darn close. Joining us now, someone has a lot of thoughts on that and some other things, Jeff Cruer. You can catch him when you're in the Big Easy. I love New Orleans. On 990 in that city. And he is also the host of a cool show called Ringside. It's kind of a TV version of his radio program, and that airs on the PBS affiliate in New Orleans. If you're there too, WLAE TV. Jeff, you're a busy man. You're like me. You're like the juggler.
That's what you got to be in this day and age. You know, you got to, in the Obama economy, you got to have lots of skills to be able to make a living.
I love that. Hey, speaking, since you brought this up, speaking of the Obama economy, you know, the whole thing with Obamacare, and we could do 5 hours on that, probably. And more than that, you know, I'm going to Washington for that Supreme Court oral argument coming up in the beginning of March. But I just was at, I have a little bit of a cold, and my doc was all booked up. He's going to take me late. But I went to the urgent care place near me, and when I went in, they asked me, do you understand your insurance? I'm like, what are you talking about? Of course I understand my insurance. No, deductibles. What kind of insurance do you have? They started grilling me. And I said, what's going on with that? And they said that people came in and they didn't understand. The woman said to me, they don't understand Obamacare. They think that they have co-pays and they don't. And then they don't even know. They're not sure about what the back end of it is. And I thought, wow, here it is, a living example. And I said, does this happen all the time? She said, yes. So we started making it our policy that we would tell people specifically what everything costs because they were fearful that they couldn't afford it.
You know, I've got so many Obamacare horror stories. I've got good friends of mine who are doctors who are leaving the industry because of Obamacare. I've got folks that are friends whose premiums have gone up. I didn't realize how bad it was until my premiums went up 400%. Thank you, Mr. Obama. So, I mean, this thing was supposed to fix everything. It's made everything worse, which is why 58% in a recent poll still wanted to repeal this thing. And then the Republicans go up there and fund it for another year.
Yeah, and that's that goes to the whole Boehner thing. So were you surprised by how that unfolded or no? I mean, I guess we kind of knew it was going to be tight and most likely he would survive that.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping against hope that the Republicans would show some courage and do the right thing. I mean, Boehner is such a sellout. I mean, the guy has been a horrible speaker. I just think he's let us down, the conservative, the grassroots. And the Cromnibus was just the final straw. I mean, constantly giving in to Obama, funding Obamacare, funding executive amnesty for a year. So we generated all these calls and emails and letters. And a poll by Pacadell showed 60% of Americans, Republicans, and people, the lean Republican, wanted to get rid of, when somebody knew a speaker, get rid of Boehner. Yet still, they knew the majority in their districts wanted somebody new. They still turned their back on us and did the same old Beltway deal and voted to reelect him.
Yeah, wow. And I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be an easy ride for him, though. I think that, you know, there's going to be a little bit of those poison darts. Although, I don't know, is that good for the Republican Party when you're a year out of what will be a major push in 2016 to get a Republican president? And what do you think?
Well, I think Boehner is going to try to trend to the right a little bit. I've already got some inside scoop that he's going to try to give us a few bones and maybe move a little bit more to the right. We'll see. I mean, I'll believe it when I see it. But as far as the presidential race, I think this is really the wake-up call for conservatives that we've got to really take back this party because the establishment is firmly in line with the Boehners of the world and Romney and Bush. And none of those guys, in my view, are conservatives. So I think it's a real battle royale now that's going to be taking place really for the heart and soul of the Republican Party.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. What do you make of the Mitt Romney situation?
I mean, that guy is amazing. He's already lost twice. He had the election last time. The man had it. But he blew it in the final two debates. He is the worst possible candidate to run against Obamacare because he's the father of Obamacare. He just is not a compelling conservative. He's not a great communicator. He's a good man. Jeb Bush is a good man, honorable people. But I just don't think they're very good presidential candidates, and I don't think they would beat the Democrats.
Yeah, who do you think right now, if you had to decide right now, who would you say?
Well, there's a difference between who I like and who I think would be the best candidate.
Okay, who's the best candidate?
I like Ted Cruz. I mean, Ted Cruz, I think, is great because he's courageous, he's principled, he's fearless, and I think he's right on pretty much all the issues. But I think Scott Walker could be a better candidate in that he's got the executive experience. He's faced down the Democrats in his own state time and time again. So I might think that he could give us a better shot as a nominee.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you, too. I do, but I don't know. It gets so discombobulated once you get through all these committees and you strain everything out. And I always say this, boy, I don't want to see what happened last time happen again. Remember there was like a gazillion debates and, of course, sky-high ratings. Everybody wanted to see it. But then it becomes a situation where you sort of eat your own too much. And I don't think that – I think there should be a limit on how many debates there are this time around. What do you say?
Well, you're right. They've done that. They've cut them down. So there are fewer debates. Everything's going to be condensed so that we're going to have a nominee by June instead of August. So
yeah.
It's all going to be done earlier, so we'll be able to have a nominee to run against whoever the Democrats have all throughout the summer and the fall. And then there won't be as much infighting because we'll unite behind whoever that is. I just want that person to be a conservative because that's the only formula we have for victory. The formula for the moderate rhino candidate is a candidate that can't beat the Democrats. So that would be my concern, to have the liberals win and have another 4 years in the White House.
Yeah, so if you don't take a big giant stand and try to unite everyone, and that's what I think is what we're talking about here. I think that's part of the problem, pleasing too many masters and not just having one solid core, because as you say, that there's no way that person wins against the Democrat. I don't believe so either.
I think the history shows. I mean, we've seen Bush Sr. lose to Clinton, Bob Dole lose, we've seen John McCain lose, we've seen Mitt Romney lose. And my goodness, if we give it to Mitt Romney again, that's suicidal. And Jeb Bush, he's wrong on a lot of issues. I think a lot of conservatives would take a walk if he is the nominee.
Yeah.
And you need somebody that can bring everybody together and mobilize and energize the base. And I don't see him doing that.
Did you know, down where you are, of course, in Louisiana, Cassidy getting in over Landrieu in the runoff election? Once you hit the runoff, did you get the feeling, and you got the pulse there, you're talking to people in the city, did you get the sense that, oh, there's no way she's surviving this?
Oh, yeah, she knew it. mean, the funny thing is, she was on my radio show the day before the election. And she got so aggravated and upset with me and got so anxious and mad that she hung up on. And it really became a big story. I mean, it went viral and you had everybody picking up on it. And it just showed you she knew it. I mean, she knew she was going to lose. She was lashing out at people. She was claiming that she wasn't really Obama's chief lieutenant, and she wasn't that supportive of Obama, and she tried to move Obama to the middle on Obamacare and all this nonsense. And it really came through, and I think she knew once the runoff was set that she didn't have a prayer, because she didn't do well in the first primary. She only got like 42% of the vote.
Yeah. Last thing, Jeff, we've got coming up here, because we know the Department of Homeland Security is not funded after February, so obviously there's going to be something that happens there. I think there's going to be full-on debate over the immigration executive action by the president, and we'll see if anything gets dismantled from that. But I think the problem is some of that's already been funded.
Well, there you go. I mean, some of it's been funded, and then the Republicans had this reluctance, really, to be too aggressive, because they're all worried about offending the Hispanic voters. So they're like, oh, well, we have to placate, the liberals on this. We can't be too firm on it. The American people want the border secure. They don't want illegals to receive benefits. They don't want them to receive a pathway to citizenship. People aren't demanding that they get deported. But they certainly don't want to be funding amnesty. So I think the Republicans really need to do some soul searching and see whether they're going to do what their base is telling them to do, and that is secure the border, don't fund this amnesty, or whether they're going to believe the media and say, oh, well, we've got to go along with this to try to win more Hispanic votes. And I don't see that happening. I see them having a worse time of it if they alienate their base, who are already mad with them. And, of course, the other factor, the X factor, is the chamber. And a lot of these businesses are saying, yeah, we love this cheap labor. We love this illegal immigration. Don't mess with it, because we make more profits that way. So they call a lot of shots in the Republican Party, too. And I think a lot of these congressmen listen to these big business donors who fund their campaigns.
Oh, absolutely. That's all about who's pulling the strings for sure. Jeff Cruer, terrific stuff. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks. Thanks, Jeff.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Yeah.
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball? Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them. Help them.
The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
Four-man rush. Now late blitz. Wilson lost it up for Pierce. What a catch! Jermaine Pierce on his way, diving! Touchdown!
To the outside, a little bit low, the court. Amendola able to dive into the end zone. Touchdown. Danny Amendola makes the catch, stays in bounds, 15 yards, and an extra point away from a tie game.
Edelman in motion.
Edelman takes the swing pass. Edelman's going to throw. He's downfield wide open. Amendola. Touchdown. 51 yards. They only rush four. Rodgers with a pass to Adam. What a throw. Adam inside the 10. Touchdown. Fourth down and two. Here's one down the sideline. Pass caught. Touchdown for him.
it. After review, it has been determined that the receiver did not maintain possession of the football during the contest. The ball comes loose, hits the ground. Therefore, the ruling is an incomplete forward pass.
All right, wow, what a crazy weekend of football, no question about it. And I'll tell you what, you know, here in America Tonight, we do that nail the score thing. Grim, buddy, you almost got it. Grim called in last week and said he thought Green Bay would beat the Cowboys 26-24. Well, Green Bay did win 26-21. Oh, buddy, so, so close. Don't forget, nail the score, Wednesday to Thursday show. Second hour, final segment. All you have to do is call in, guess between the two teams who you think is going to win and what do you think the final score is going to be, because actually you'll have two chances. We'll have the AFC and the NFC championship game. Now, the road to getting there was pretty interesting. Even the Broncos, who would have thought that the Broncos would lose? They did. The Colts beat them 24-13. John Fox out as the coach of the Broncos. A lot of interesting storylines coming off of last week. Matt Johnson, you like me, you're a fantasy football player. We tell people this all the time. We both love football, pay attention to it. And I want to go back to the Cowboys game first. Very strange, that final catch for the Cowboys, Dez Bryant, I'm going to call it the final catch. He had a chance with just a couple of minutes left to make a touchdown and came oh so close, but it was ruled that it was not a catch, that it was incomplete. And there's been a lot of conversation about this, that it's karma for what happened in the Detroit game when they had a reversal of a call that could have affected the outcome. There was some of that. Even the Detroit Lions tweeted that to the Cowboys right after the game. But then there's other people who are saying, oh, it was a catch, there shouldn't have been a controversy there. And then the rest are saying, well, listen, it's what the rules are. This is the rule. And that's how you gotta maintain the rules, and that's the bottom line. And they're saying Brian didn't maintain control all the way to the ground, and that's what the rule is. And the replay showed Brian kind of bobbling the ball when he rolled into the end zone with part of it touching the field. So they're saying by rule he has to hold on to it throughout the entire process. So my first question is, do you think he held on to it?
I think he did. In my estimation, I think that is the catch. And I feel that there's two things here. One, he caught the ball, and it was a ridiculous play, the most ridiculous non-play I've ever seen, I think. And then he catches the ball, and he switches hands and tries to extend over the goal line.
Yep.
If he extends over the goal line and loses the ball, that's still a touchdown because it crosses the plane. So I think it's a little ridiculous that just based on where he lands, it doesn't count as a catch because he's still in bounds. I think he does enough with it to say that he had the ball, and I think everybody watching it assumed that that was a catch. It's the same thing that Calvin Johnson played a number of years ago where I think everybody assumes that that is just a catch, and then the refs kind of mess with it by going down to the very, you know, letter of the law and just figuring out what exactly the rule is. And I don't know. In my estimation, I think that's a catch.
Yeah, I think it's a catch, too. I think they got ripped off, frankly. You know, that was with four and change on the clock. And, you know, the Green Bay Packers would have gotten the ball back. Who knows what would have happened. But they rallied. The Packers rallied from an eight-point deficit with two second-half touchdown passes in the end. So, in the end, they win 26-21. But they were helped by that video reversal. There's no question about it. No question about it. But, you know, you got to – what are you going to do? The Cowboys have to move on from there. They've got to make some decisions now on some players and what they're going to do. And that's it. I mean, this was their first trip to Green Bay, postseason trip since the Ice Bowl in 1967. I'll say this. The game was certainly one that was interesting to watch. I'm very surprised what happened with the Broncos. That was that other Sunday night game. And Andrew Luck is a tremendous quarterback, but he led his team to the upset of Peyton Manning with a couple of touchdowns over, you know, he had 265 yards, and he looked pretty darn good. They moved the ball a little bit here and there when they had to, and the Broncos lost. Were you surprised by that?
I was, but then watching the game, I don't think I thought the Broncos were going to win because I didn't know how badly hurt Peyton Manning was. He just was a statue back there. He couldn't throw the ball at all. I mean, they couldn't do anything other than run the ball. And I think, you know, the Colts figured that out. They defended well against it, and they they were the better team, and they I don't think they're going to win in New England, but I think they were definitely the better team over the Broncos.
Yeah, they were definitely the better team. There's no question about it. And so they do move to the AFC Championship game at New England. And New England did what I thought New England would do, but there was also a close game there. That was a great game to watch. They got by Baltimore 35-31. And Tom Brady looks sensational. I mean, he's on the list for MVP, although I think Aaron Rodgers gets it, even though I think J.J. Watt from Houston, the stud defensive player, should get it. But, I mean, that's a story for another time. You and I talked about that already before. So who do you think wins with, you know, we won't nail the score or anything, but between New England and the Colts?
I think we're going to be looking at a Super Bowl of Seattle and New England.
I do, too. I think that's exactly what it's going to be. And then it'll be interesting to see what Seattle does after what happened last time around. Of course, you remember what they did to the Broncos. And I guess, you know, really that's part of the disappointment of the season. The Broncos and their head coach, John Fox, part ways. And I was kind of surprised to see that headline. I mean, I was surprised by the Broncos, but I guess that's the deal. Hey, we pumped a bunch of money in this direction, and we got to make a change.
Yeah, and I saw some tweets rumoring about this leading up to the game, and I just thought, I was like, no way, why would you do that? But then looking back at it, they kind of have to have a changing of the guard. They got their offensive coordinator, Adam Gase, is being interviewed for other jobs, and there's rumors that maybe he might take over the Broncos' job too, and they wanted to give him a shot at that. Jack Del Rio, their defensive coordinator, might be heading out to Oakland, so it sounds like there's a lot of changes that might be happening. And also, you have to look at Peyton Manning. If he's going to come back next year, are they going to hand the reins back over to Brock Osweiler, their I think it was their second-round draft pick a number of years ago out of Arizona State. There could be a lot of change on that team. Demaryius Thomas, I think, is a free agent. They have a lot of guys that team could be completely different next year, and I think John Elway, just who's the president of the team, is just thinking, I need to go in a new direction and rebuild the roster.
Yeah, after they spent a bunch of money, they got to make a decision on what they're going to do, and when they have this, they go to the Super Bowl, they get flushed out, crashed out, and then don't make it this last time around. I mean, how about that? I guess I shouldn't have been necessarily surprised by that, but I think it's exactly what he has to do. I mean, you know, their questions are surrounding Manning's future. On Christmas Eve, he said he planned on coming back for an 18th season. And now, you know, now it's not so certain. I think after what happened in this playoff fiasco, because it is a fiasco for the Broncos. So now you got another debate there, too, going on about Peyton Manning's future. And are we going to see him back? I mean, the Broncos have to deal with, as somebody put it to me, a sick hangover after another playoff miss. And what are they going to do about Peyton Manning? Do you think he comes back?
I think he'll play again next year, but I don't know if it's going to be in Denver.
Ooh, where could he get? Well, there's a lot of people would probably still take a chance on Peyton Manning. I mean, you figure he was, what, a game away from the championship game, and last year he went to the Super Bowl, no matter what happened in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and if you look at a couple of the playoff teams, just think of how much better, like Arizona. I know they have Carson Palmer, but he's coming back for injury. But let's say you put Peyton Manning on Arizona.
That'd be great.
They're a lot better team. Yep. There's a couple of playoff teams that have really good defenses, good running game. They just need a quarterback to kind of come in there and seal the deal. It reminds me of the Vikings in 2008. We had kind of all the pieces around. In 2009, Brett Favre comes. We have this amazing year. But then it kind of floundered after that. But, you know, you could get that lightning in the box for 1 year.
All right, we're out of time. Again, thanks so much for listening to America.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.